So talking about the Indigenous flag, how did this flag come to be in the ownership of a non-Indigenous country, a company?
Well, it's quite extraordinary, isn't it, really? But in the end, the person who designed the flag, Thomas, he was, I guess, entitled as the artist to sell his work. And that's what he did. But, of course, the work has become something that is now broadly used. You know, it's a symbol for all of us as Aboriginal people in Australia. And I think there is actually some sort of, I think a sort of duty of care, to be honest, around somebody saying, well, it's entirely still my own property. So it's quite extraordinary to think that somebody would, knowing that something's become so important to so many of their own people, really, would sell the rights to its use to a company.
I guess it's
then copyrighted.
The difficulty, I guess, in understanding this one is, you know, the distinction between an artwork and a flag. I mean, essentially, you know, they can obviously both be represented one way or the other. Is this a particularly unique case in terms of the flag being copyrighted in this way?
To be honest, I don't know of other cases. It is a really strange situation. I mean, quite often a flag or an insignia or a design or device that becomes representative of a group of people or an organisation or, you know, is the result of a competition or some kind of clear process where an image becomes attached specifically to that purpose, you know. So this is a different situation where an artist created an artwork, essentially, in the form of what was called a flag, and it's become actually a flag, I guess is the simplest way of putting it. And he, you know, does have intellectual property rights, artistic rights to his own piece of work. So that's where the difficulty lies.
Well, in contrast, obviously enough, the Australian national flag is owned by the people exclusively under law. Would it be a possibility, I guess, for the Australian government to perhaps buy out the copyright holders and make this sort of flag, you know, available in that same sense?
Well, it would be excellent if there was a way to resolve the copyright issue, the intellectual property right, the artist's property right, so that this couldn't keep happening. I remember somebody saying that the McDonald's golden arches were copyrighted somewhere and McDonald's had to buy the, I think it might have been Japan. I think I may be making up where it was, maybe making that up, but definitely it's the truth. It's the case that that famous symbol of McDonald's, the burger franchise, was copyrighted and they had to go through a legal process to be able to use that symbol in the place where it had been copyrighted. I think it was in a country. So this is a real is that copyright laws protect people, but they also can be very problematic when something goes into common use as well. I mean, that's the sense of what's happened with the Aboriginal flag is that it's now in a common use. So what you're saying is that it's become, if you like, appropriated by Aboriginal people across Australia as a symbol of us. And it's going to be very difficult to come up with an alternative symbol that when that one has become so embedded in the psyche of Aboriginal people. It's everywhere. It's been carried by our great athletes. It's been emblazoned on people's protest banners. It's you know, sworn as earrings by people to symbolise their affiliation with being Aboriginal. It's just a, it's such a symbol, and it's a really beautiful symbol, to be honest. You know, the people, the land, and the sun. It's all, it's such a lovely set of imagery, which is why people took it on. And I think that, in many ways, I feel that the artist probably should understand that better.
Yeah, regardless of what you might say about any other intention, certainly it is a very beautiful piece of artwork that has become such a recognised symbol. Obviously, there's the argument that at least Indigenous people should be able to use this. You know, the peoples and communities should be able to use this without cost or the need for consent. I'm curious, how are people actually sort of fighting this fight? How are they actually sort of pushing for these changes to be made?
There's certainly been a huge amount of social media commentary around this matter. And I think, you know, there's been quite a lot of criticism of both the company that has bought the rights to use the flag on clothing and also criticism of the designer, Harold Thomas. But it's... look, you know, the thing is, they are covered by laws. They are legally protected, and that's just how it is. So I guess it comes down to a moral obligation, which is what we're talking about, isn't it? We're talking about a moral obligation to let people who have become very attached to and who identify with this as a symbol of, particularly of solidarity and of our presence as Aboriginal people in Australia. And people weren't stopped from developing that attachment. The artist never stopped anybody from developing that attachment. And this company that's come along has got really no connection with that attachment, except they want to exploit it. And so I think that there's a real clash here of, I guess, fundamentally legal rights and then this other moral obligation. And that's something that people are really protesting against. And whether or not there'll be any kind of formal legal follow-up, I'm not sure.
Well, it is rather a tricky one to unpack. Jackie, do appreciate you joining us on this one this morning.
Thank you very much. And whatever happens, I guess I will always love the Aboriginal flag. It will always feel like it's part of who and what I am anyway.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Jackie.
Thank you. Thanks.